Here's a simple way to stay connected on the go. Join KHQ on Facebook and Twitter and be a part of the conversation. Just like KHQ Local News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter before your next stop. Experience why more people follow KHQ Local News than any other station in the Inland Northwest. Be the first to know about breaking news, weather, and all the stories creating a social media swirl. Sign up, sound off, stay connected. KHQ Local News, right now.
Welcome to Startup Spokane, where hosts Steve Traben, Ryan Arnold, and Megan Garrett explore the excitement and momentum growing throughout Spokane's expanding startup community.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, your home for broad and podcasts about everything startup and entrepreneurship related in the Spokane community. I'm your host, Megan Garrett, flying solo today. Steve Traben is out golfing. As you know, on Startup Spokane, we want to provide you with our region's story of entrepreneurship, how we're creating an ecosystem that builds and facilitates a thriving startup community and small business community. And that's attractive not only to our native entrepreneurs, but then also to people who may be looking to call Spokane home in the future. And so we are talking to people and showing them resources who are looking to launch their next business and grow the business that they have here already. And we want to educate you about the resources that exist in our region to do that, and then the ways that you can plug in and connect to those resources. So today we are continuing on in our summer resource series, which will focus on the things available to startups and entrepreneurs during their summer break. And we're focusing in this series specifically on mentorship, education, building, and developing. And today's program is the second in our series. Last time we talked about mentorship, and today we're going to focus on education. And so I'm very excited to be joined today by Mark Pond from the Downtown Spokane Library and Dr. Michael Ebinger from the WSU University Center for Entrepreneurship. So today we have the M Cubed show. I'm Megan, and we're here with Mike and Mark. And so let's start with introductions. We are going to start with just, if you can, guys, give us a brief description about who you are and what your role is within your respective organizations. And Michael, let's start with you.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm with the Center for Innovation, not Entrepreneurship.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I had that one wrong.
It's always mixed up. So I'm part of, well, the center itself is funded by an Economic Development Administration grant that really charges me or charges us with helping new businesses start or helping existing businesses expand. And we do that within the context of the university itself. So we're also working for the university expansion as well. So right now we're trying to associate a lot of our innovation and entrepreneurship with the emerging health sciences and healthcare community. So it's a pretty exciting time right now.
And just so you know, I even had innovation written down in my script. I just, entrepreneurship is my world, and I said the wrong thing. And what is your role there, Michael?
I'm the director for the center.
Director for the center. Excellent. And Mark, talk to us about your role with the library and what you do there.
Sure. So I'm the business research librarian and just hit my 10-year mark just this spring here at Spokane Public Library. So my day-to-day role is helping local businesses, whether they be startups or established businesses, find the information that they need to be profitable and efficient in their search for information. That's what I do.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm glad that you guys are here. I know that at Startup Spokane, we work a lot with the library and with the WSU Center for Innovation, and we work a lot with Mike and Mark, and we refer a lot of entrepreneurs and small businesses and established businesses to both of the services that you guys provide. So I'm really excited that we can spend some time today on the podcast delving in a little bit more to what both of you guys do and what resources and services that your organizations provide and talking a little bit more. And I would like to start with you today, Mark, because we were just talking about this the other day, that the business services that our library provides, I think, is one of the best resources that our community has for businesses to be successful. Yet a lot of people really don't know how truly lucky we are to have the services and what the services are. So let's talk a little bit about that. What exists within the library system for businesses? What are some of the services that you provide? And what are some of the benefits to what exists within the library system for businesses and entrepreneurs?
Sure. Yeah, so probably for the quickest summation that I would point people to would be SpokaneBusiness.org. That's the website that we, with the City Library, as well as the Spokane County Library District, we put together a shared set of business resources. And most of them you can get access to online with your library card, wherever you happen to have internet access. There are a couple that you have to be either at the downtown branch or at one of our neighborhood branches to have access to those. But that suite of business research resources, it really is one of the best in the nation. We're really leading the pack in terms of what public libraries are able to offer to their local business community.
I heard something about that ranking that we're pretty high up there. Talk a little bit about that ranking.
Yeah, well, I spent close to a year and a half going through looking at top-ranked MBA programs around the nation and then looking to see what those libraries at those institutions offered in support of those MBA programs. So once I had that master list of resources, then I would filter to find, okay, what are the most commonly subscribed to resources? And then from those, I looked to see which ones seem to fit what we were doing here in Spokane and also what would fit our budget. So once we put that list together, then I just rounded up trial access to all these different resources and kicked the tires for a while and then was able to put together kind of my dream list of business resources that I think do a really nice job of helping the entrepreneur, someone who's just looking to start out and kind of exploring, as well as for established businesses. I was looking for both of those two kind of target markets for myself.
And talk about some of those subscription services are that the library provides to businesses and to entrepreneurs. And because I think a lot of maybe entrepreneurs know, because we refer to you and you come and you talk to entrepreneurship classes at the universities and different meetings and groups throughout the community. But so talk a little bit about what some of these services provide to entrepreneurs, but then also touch on, I think a lot of established businesses could utilize the services and benefit from them as well, that maybe they don't know that.
Sure. Yeah. So maybe two examples right off the top. One is a resource called IBIS World, kind of a wonky name, but what it provides are 30 to 40 page market research reports on pretty much any given industry. And at least as of last week, only Spokane Public and New York Public Library are the only two public libraries in the nation that offer that to their communities. So that's a great starting point that I usually point entrepreneurs to say, hey, look, here's a really nice summation of the industry that you're looking into. It's nationwide in scope, so it's a great place to turn for benchmarking and trying to just get a sense of kind of the general lay of the land. So each of those IBIS World reports, if you were to just go online yourself without going through the library, they retail for $925. Mm. So there aren't too many entrepreneurs in the community who are willing to plop down almost $1,000 on a market research report, even though they should.
Right.
It pays off in the long run, but often the short run wins out. So being able to provide that to the entrepreneur community is just fabulous. It really gets them set up well in terms of doing their market research. So that's one slice on a tool that I use routinely for startups. Also, it gets used a lot for Salesforce folks, where if they're trying to sell a product or a widget to an industry that they don't necessarily know that much about, they can get the IBIS World report, spend an evening studying up on it, and then they're off and running. So that's one. Second one to throw out would be lynda.com. We just got access to lynda.com December of this last year. And again, it's a tool that works beautifully both for the startup community as well as for established businesses. But I think especially for established businesses, it really holds a lot of promise. If you're doing any sort of workforce training, if you've got staff members that need to get up to speed on web design or app development or even just something as simple and straightforward as Excel training, it's all covered there, and it's all available with your library card. You get to it online, and you get access to the full lynda.com library of classes, which is, I think at last count, something like 4,400, 4,500 different classes.
Wow.
That are all taught by industry experts, and it's just a treasure trove of really fabulous education.
And I think when we talked about it last time, you mentioned a real good combination of hard skills, like you talked about, mm-hmm. development, graphic design, those types of things, but soft skills too, setting someone up to, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they're starting out being an entrepreneur, but maybe they've been in the lab and they've developed something and sales isn't something or presentations isn't something they've done before. And it's got lynda.com has something, you know, courses available that can help them sort of develop those soft leadership and business skills that maybe they aren't familiar with either.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it really does provide a nice broad range of subject area. So if you have a great idea for a business, but you don't know the first thing about social media marketing, that would be the place to turn.
Excellent. Well, we have to take a quick break here on Startup Spokane. It always flies so fast when we're having good conversation. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation about education resources and find out a little bit more about what Mike is here to talk about today. We'll be right back.
Listening to SpokaneTalksOnline.com, Spokane and North Idaho's business and community talk station.
Saving for big goals can be intimidating, but small steps over time can really add up. If you create a basic safety net, start early, take advantage of an offered match, and prepare for the long haul, it can be done. Read or watch more about these basic tips of saving for the future at stcumoney.org.
A special thank you to our friends at Tom Sawyer Country Coffee, the official coffee supplier here at Spokane Talks Online.
It's often said that small changes can lead to big results. That's especially true with your energy use. It's why Avista has put together a list of small changes that can help you save energy and cost little or nothing to do. Like when leaving a room, turn off all electronics, not just the lights. Unplug phone chargers not in use, and seal your outlets with inexpensive foam gaskets. See the entire list of energy-saving tips at avistautilities.com.
Welcome back to Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, where we are giving you the M-Cube show today. I'm Megan, here with Mark Pond from the Downtown Spokane Library and Michael Ebinger from the WSU Center for Innovation. And we have been talking about education resources that you can access on your summer break to keep your entrepreneurship and business ventures going. And so, Mike, let's now start talking to you about the University Center for Innovation. Tell us a little bit about what it is, what kind of services you offer, and just tell us what you do over there.
Right. Well, one of the things that I do is I see people at the very beginning of their quest maybe to begin a new business or expand a business. So I'll see them a lot of times with sketches on the back of an envelope, and sometimes that's literal. Then they come in and ask, what do we do next? We want to start a business. Well, one of the first questions back to them is, why do you want to start a business? And how do you know you're going to be successful? Where are your data? Is there a market? So one of the first things we do is, like Mark mentioned, we jump right into iBiz reports, and we do that through WSU's resources. But I can't really let them go into the library unless there's staff or faculty. So we push them down to the library and say, go look at this. We'll give them some information. Like I know usually on page 12 or 14, there's a certain amount of information that I can give to somebody about market size. And we can look at that for a minute and say, now go get the rest of the report from the public library. And mm-hmm. that's the first step for us.
That's a great community collaboration there.
It is. It mm-hmm. is. There's another database that I use a lot too that Mark didn't mention called Statista. And one thing that Mark and I have done back and forth is Mark will In one case I'm thinking about specifically, Mark illuminated some data for a particular business, and then that person came back to me and asked some other questions, and we were able to develop market size estimates for this person, and we went back and forth with Statista and iBiz and other market research to say, yes, there's a big enough business base for this particular business to start up and run and expand a little bit. And sure enough, that launched about a month ago, and I think it's successful so far. It's way too early to tell, but
on the right track, though.
On the right track, for sure. Good. And they wouldn't have known that information unless we could have collaborated with asking the right kinds of questions and having the resources available. So the person involved actually was able to do some of her own research, and with the right questions was able to ask the right questions of the databases in the public library and then come back with more questions to back and forth. So we had a very – I think that the public library, WSU, and the client had a very interesting and iterative relationship on building this business. It was great.
Excellent. And so you do – you help a lot of people at that early stage, you know, where they come with that cocktail napkin sketch where some of the best companies start, right? And so you kind of help them determine, okay, is there a market? Is it feasible to start this business? And then what else do? Do you kind of help them take that next step? I know you work some with business plans and the business model canvas. So talk a little bit about that.
Right. So the second step of that, if there's feasibility for the idea, if it looks like there's some kind of a market, whether that's local or bigger than that, we'll start to say, well, this is a neat idea. There might be some feasibility, but who are your customers? And if you don't have any customers, then why are you even thinking about this? It may be a great idea and it might be feasible, but if you don't have customers, what's the point? So that leads us immediately to the business model canvas. And I think in the last year, I've completed about 60 of those. So I mean, we do a lot. And I take it a little bit differently that with each customer type, we tend to do a canvas for each customer type. It keeps things a little cleaner for each of the developing businesses, but that helps a lot. So we'll do a lot of that. If there's still feasibility at the end of the business model canvas process, we'll start to suggest ways to build a business plan from that. And I don't write business plans, but I'll coach that, I'll guide that, whatever. But I definitely don't write business plans. I wrote a business plan in my MBA classes, and that's it. I'm done.
until I get to you my served stage. Your time.
Exactly. I don't see the point of business plans unless there's some business modeling in back of that.
Absolutely.
You know, others may disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But it takes a little bit more time to build a canvas out of it, to build a model out of it. But it saves a lot of time when you put together a compact and efficient business plan and then go forward with that for whatever funding that's going to be needed or to start the business. Mm-hmm. It's really, really easy. But so we take the phases from very early startup to initial modeling to business plan coaching. And that's usually a lot. That's, I think at last count for this calendar, my year goes from July 1st to June 30th. And in that period, I had about 30 clients come in for what we call technical assistance.
Wow.
And I have six or so on a waiting list so that when I get some time, I'll be able to add more people. So.
Wow. And so talk about the clients that you're helping. I know at the top of the broadcast, you'd mentioned, you know, the health sector focus and with where you're located. For those of you that don't know, they're right down on the WSU downtown campus, kind of in that River Point campus district. But so is that your focus is primarily health sector, or do you kind of work with a broad base of clients?
It's a very broad base of clients right now. I'm in the last 6 to 8 months, I've gravitated a little bit more towards healthcare, health sciences, mostly because of the developments at WSU. My charge from my funder is to be partly a university entity, but partly a public entity. So I'm trying to balance that out a little bit. You know, what those fractions are, I'm not sure at this point. So my base is very broad. I've got some very low tech stuff that, you know, is really interesting, but probably isn't going to make somebody $1 million, to brand new ideas for the healthcare world, such as electronic medical records ideas that are brand new that, you know, may help, may not, but we'll see. So we'll see where that all is going.
And so do you have to be a WSU student or affiliated with the university in any way to access these services, these coaching and these kind of market research services that the University Center for Innovation provides?
No, you don't. I'm open to everybody, and I have to remind myself sometimes, but I have to remind everybody else too that I'm federally funded, so I have to be open to all requests. I'm a WSU employee for sure, but I'm federally funded, so I have to be open to all. And at this moment, I think I'm about half and half with folks from outside the university coming in for technical assistance with the other half is folks from within WSU looking for assistance for different things like proposals or other potential products that are coming out. So.
And so I think that leads us to a great question, which is, you know, there's a lot of educational resources where entrepreneurs can really whether it's working with you, Mike, or coming to the library and accessing, I mean, Mark highlighted a couple, but there's a whole page when you go to SpokaneBusiness.org. There's a whole page of services and subscriptions available to entrepreneurs and to businesses to really get the education you need to make informed decisions about whether that's launching a business, moving into a new market, expanding to a new area. So there's a lot of educational resources to access. And so I think that moves us into a good point of let's talk to people about how do they access those resources. And so we've talked a little bit, Mark, about, you know, all you need is a library card. But where can people, you know, let's say they have a library card, but maybe they don't know what to do. So how do people come, you know, if they wanted to meet with you to set up an appointment or they wanted to learn more about the library services, talk a little bit about how they would access some of the things we've talked about here today.
Sure. Probably the most direct route would be to just set up a one-on-one meeting with myself. And I spend a good chunk of every day doing just that. Later this afternoon, I have two meetings set up to sit down with folks for roughly an hour each to just walk them through the resources and say, this tool does this, this tool does that, here's how you use it. So probably the best route to contact me directly is by email. Mm-hmm. So mpond@spokanelibrary.org is the best route. And then once I have email exchange going back and forth, then I can shoot prospective clients a link to my calendar showing what my availability looks like, and then they can pick and choose from there.
Mm-hmm. So mpond@spokanelibrary.org.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I will just put in a plug for Mark. As a business owner myself, I have availed myself of your services and learned a lot, but then also there's a lot of the services out of the, you know, the business services at the library that I use for my own clients doing market research and Excellent. That kind of thing. And it's very valuable. I think it's incredible what Spokane has to offer in that way. And a lot of people don't know that it's this hidden gem that our city has Sure. that is, it's really incredible for our business community. And I would encourage a lot of people to take advantage of it because it really is, it's incredible. These things that would cost you as a business owner thousands and thousands of dollars that the library makes available to us through the generosity of library supporters. So that's great. And then, Mike, how would people, if I know you've got a little bit of a waiting list with your one-man show over there, but how would people access, you know, if they're thinking, okay, you know, I've got my cocktail napkin sketch,
right.
but, or, you know, I've got my idea, I've done, maybe I've started research on my own, but I've hit a point where I don't know how to keep going and I want to maybe start looking into the Center for Innovation. How would they, what's their next step?
The easiest is similar to Mark's, is to find me by email, and mm-hmm. we've set up a one-on-one on campus, and we will talk through it. So my my email isn't quite as easy. It's ebingerm@wsu.edu. I call it Ebingerm.
Ebingerm.
It fits the health sciences pretty well that way. But that's easy. The easiest way to do that, and we'll set up a one-on-one and talk through the idea. Sometimes the feasibility study will start then. We'll find out, mm-hmm. well, this is a great idea, but if you're going to try to generate energy from nothing, it's not going to happen. And I've had some of those. We've got perpetual motion machines that, you know, come on, that's been proven not to work for several hundred years. But okay, that's fine. We've got some other great ideas that are saying we need to get on this right now because this is a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we've had both sides of that. And mm-hmm. it's really fun to get together with the inventors sometimes or the innovators and find out really what their passion is for this idea. So some of them are, it's a great idea, but there's no passion behind it. But you, without the one-on-one meeting, you never know.
Right.
It's really, I really enjoy the one-on-ones. So
yeah.
I will, where, even though I've got a waiting list, I work really hard to get those one-on-ones as quickly as possible.
Yep. So. And I will say I've also had the one-on-one mm-hmm. with Mike, and it is very, very valuable, and again, a very great community resource to, again, make educated business decisions, whether you're launching and starting a brand new business or moving into a new market, like we said, or taking a business to that next step. And so, unfortunately, as it always does, time has flown incredibly fast here on the podcast, and that's about all the time we have today. But I want to thank you, Mark and Mike, for joining us today. I want to thank you to our audience for listening to us here on Startup Spokane Radio on Spokane Talks Online. And I want to encourage you all to join us for our future podcast where we will continue this summer series on summer entrepreneurship resources so you can keep working while you're on quote-unquote summer break. We know how that summer Spokane business mode works. And then next time, we are going to speak to representatives from organizations that provide maker support. So we're going to be talking about, okay, you've moved from, you've got your mentors, you've got your idea and the education to move forward, and then we're going to start talking about how do you start building it and how do you start making it and looking at some of those resources here in town. So join us next time for that, and we will talk to you next time on Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online. Thank you.
Startup Spokane is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. We wish you a great and profitable day.
Snoring can disrupt marriages and cause serious health problems. Call Sleep Better Northwest first, the experts in dental sleep medicine. Their medically approved, custom-fit oral appliances will have both you and your partner sleeping better and being more productive throughout your day. Don't wait. Snoring and sleep apnea can signal potential strokes or heart attacks. For more information, visit needbettersleepnow.com and download our health guide today. Sleep Better Northwest, the experts in dental sleep medicine.
The economy is getting stronger, banks are lending again, and interest rates are at historic lows. Now is a great time to buy your dream home. The caring and knowledgeable professionals at Homes for You have been helping people just like you for over 20 years. They take the time to listen to what you want and will help you find just the right home in Washington or Idaho. Real estate is what we do at Homes for You, 928-5782, or visit online at homes4uspokane.com.